You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. I hope you're doing well and keeping your chin up during these uncertain times. I've got lots of stuff to talk about this month, so let's dive right in. First of all, let me say thank you to all the folks who've written since our last conversation. I've had several emails wanting to hear my thoughts on everything that's going on. I'll do my best to address all of those. However, part of the reason I've been so busy is that I've been focusing on solutions and not been able to allocate much time on listening to the talking heads drone on and on about the problems. So forgive me if I seem a little disconnected. I would have gotten something out earlier this month, but like I said, I've been absolutely covered in multiple projects. For all of you who are working on a garden, you know what kind of time commitment that can be. Most of my staple crops are doing well. I've put up 25 quarts of green beans. Most of those were canned, but I also froze 6 quarts. Obviously, freezing is faster, cheaper, and much less messy as opposed to canning. But I'm a prepper, so that means I've always got to do things the hard way. Now, just kidding, but it does seem like that sometimes. I think it's important to keep those canning skills honed. Plus, in the event of a grid down scenario, those jars of green beans are one less thing I'll have to worry about using up before they go bad from the freezer. If you've ever tried to run a large stand-up freezer for any length of time on a solar generator, you'll know that a stand-up freezer can suck a lot of juice. You'll need quite a few batteries to keep that going. For those of you who are keeping your canning supplies for a rainy day, right now is a great time to take stock of your supply of jars, lids, and rings. Jars are, of course, reusable, but if you're planning to can everything you produce in a grid-down event, make sure you have enough of them. Rings are also reusable, but they can get rusty, so it makes sense to have a few extra rings on hand as well. Lids are not reusable. They're also not as cheap as they once were. I use wide mouth jars because they're easier to clean. Those lids run a few cents more. A dozen runs about $4 at my local grocery. Since the apocalypse light began, canning supplies have been in short supply. Our nearest Walmart has almost nothing, but I've been able to piece together some extra canning supplies at the local grocery store. And as you probably know, it's not just canning supplies. Anything that can potentially fit into the prepper category is scarce. All of the gardeners can attest that it wasn't easy to source seed this spring. I highly encourage folks to stock up on seeds. Most will store for years if you keep those in the freezer. Another thing that's kept me busy is rabbits. I finally pulled the trigger and got 2 does and a buck. We went with New Zealand's, which make good meat rabbits. They run about 10 pounds each, so not too big and not too small. I had really hoped that I was going to be able to pick some low-hanging fruit and just buy a couple of decent hutches off of Amazon. I tried the 2 models with the best reviews, and both of those are pretty much junk. So I ended up having to build my own. I finally bit the bullet and committed to the project. Now I have a good hutch, and it should serve me well for a decade or more. It's 8 feet long and subdivided in the center, providing separate quarters for the buck and the does. It also has a half-inch by 1-inch wire screen along the bottom, which allows the manure to drop through to a length of metal roofing installed at an angle below the floor where the rabbits are. This lets the droppings roll down to a plastic bin where the manure can be captured and taken to the garden for organic fertilizer. The junk hutches that I bought off Amazon, I'll still be able to use those for breeding, so they're not a complete waste. In fact, I probably couldn't breed in the main hutch because the baby rabbit's feet would probably get caught in the screen. The Amazon hutches, they do have solid bottoms, so they should be good for that. If you decide to get into rabbits, you can find several hutch designs online. I took ideas from a few different designs that I saw, and I used those to build a custom hutch that would meet my needs. You also need to think about where you're going to place the hutch. Rabbits tolerate cold fairly well, but not heat. Select a location that's never exposed to direct sunlight, especially if you're in a warmer climate. The great thing about rabbits is that in a matter of about 3 months, you can go from 3 rabbits to over 50. Then the sky's the limit. You can produce as many as you have room to put them and food to feed them. They eat about anything. We feed ours watermelon rinds, apple cores, banana peels, carrot tops, and celery bottoms. I pick clover, plantain, and wild carrots from the field to feed them also. But if you just want to grab a bale of hay from Tractor Supply, they'll eat that too. Timothy hay is the recommended variety, but they can also eat alfalfa and oat straw. I keep a bale that's a blend of those three, which is sold for horses at Tractor Supply, and the rabbits absolutely love it. I guess I could do an entire show on rabbits, but I've got too much to cover, so let's move on. I've also finally committed to getting my ham license. I'm actually taking my test tomorrow morning, so by the time you get this, hopefully I will have passed already. I've been averaging in the low 90s for my past few practice exams over on hamexam.com, so I should be okay. For my study materials, I got the audio version of Michael Burnett's The Fast Track to Your Technician Class Ham Radio License. I found it to be pretty thorough. The entire book is a 14-hour listen. You can multitask through most of each chapter if you'll just pause to take notes in the last 2 minutes of each chapter so you can write down the highlights, which happen to be answers from the test pool. There's a couple of additions, so make sure you get the current edition with the answers to the current exam. All in, I would estimate this to be about a 20-hour commitment from studying the materials, note-taking, practice test, and then the exam. It isn't bad if you're not keeping up with a garden, building rabbit hutches, and trying to get the next post-apocalyptic novel out while the manuscript can still be classified as fiction. While we're on that topic, the final installment of The Beginning of Sorrows should be out in late August. The audio edition will be out a little sooner, hint, hint. After that, I'll be putting out a follow-on series which picks up where The Beginning of Sorrows leaves off. If you still haven't read Cabal, the first book from The Beginning of Sorrows series, the Kindle edition is available this weekend only for 99 cents. Now, on to those emails. I've probably received more emails about Dana Coverstone's 3 prophetic dreams than anything else. If you haven't heard about this and you're still interested after what I have to say about it, you can search it on YouTube by entering Dana Coverstone 3 prophetic dreams. I'm hesitant to even get into this because I'm not prepared to promote or advertise this video. But now that I've mentioned it, all of the folks who haven't heard of it are probably going to go listen now. However, it's really catching fire, particularly in the more charismatic circles of faith. So I feel like the amount of damage I can cause by bringing attention to it is fairly limited. Let me start by saying that Pastor Dana seems very sincere during his delivery of his message, and a large part of my skepticism can be attributed to the bad taste left in my mouth from 2015 when I caught a bad case of Shemitah fever. Everything Rabbi Jonathan Kahn had to say about the Shemitah cycle made sense to me. If you've been following me since then, you'll recall that I was pretty wrapped up in it. Not that Rabbi Kahn said anything wrong or misrepresented anything, but I've grown a little more cautious from that experience. So, from now on, I need to see a track record from a prophetic voice before I get overly invested. The first of the dreams Pastor Dana had was back in December where he saw a finger pointing to March on a calendar. Then he saw lots of people sick. Next, he saw a finger pointing to June, followed by riots and cities burning. Unfortunately, he didn't make a video for that dream, so we have to take that one on faith. He did put out a video on Facebook with two men from his church who claimed that he told them about the dream in December, but were still basically left to take it on faith. In his most recent dreams, which he explains in his June 25th YouTube video, features the finger pointing to September, which he says means there will be a resurgence of COVID worse than what we saw in the spring. Then he saw a fist punch a calendar marked for November. He saw DC in flames, no leadership, and UN troops with blue helmets. He also saw Chinese and Russian troops incarcerating U.S. citizens. Finally, he explains another dream that indicates a collapse of the U.S. dollar and hyperinflation. So, what's my take on all of this? Well, nothing in his dreams would surprise me. It's all stuff I've been watching and writing about for the better part of a decade. However, I'm going to need to see some proof before I start formulating an action plan based on his dreams. Although if I did, it wouldn't diverge very far from my current action plan anyway. Why do I say that? Whether Pastor Dana's dream is legitimately prophetic or just a nightmare, I think we're in for some rough waters ahead. And long before I heard about Pastor Dana's dream, November 2020 is the time that's been on my heart and mind as a very volatile period for our country. Some of you may recall a series called Ava's Crucible that I wrote in April of 2018 about the Second American Civil War. While it doesn't state a specific date, November 2020 is certainly what was on my mind when I penned it. And I think it's pretty clear for those who like to read between the lines that that's the time frame that the events occur in. Everything I'm seeing, the unfounded hysteria over COVID, the coin shortage, the aluminum can shortage, the toppling of monuments, the talk of more bailouts, the renaming of streets after a group promoting a communist agenda, makes me think that the Luciferian death cult pulling the strings of the Democrats is going all out this November. I think the plandemic was originally scheduled as another conditioning campaign, much like 9/11, but I think it's going much better than they ever dreamed. So I think they're going to try to take it over the goal line. I think they're going to try going all the way this fall. So hold your horses if you've already started writing me a nasty email. If you're uninformed about Black Lives Matter being a far-left communist organization, go to their website and click the What We Believe tab. They clearly voice their support of the gay, queer, and transgender community, refer to allies as comrades, and denounce the nuclear family, which is the design created by God Almighty. Be very careful about standing side by side with such an organization, because in so doing, you're shaking your fist at the Creator himself. And by the way, if black lives really mattered to these people, they'd start with banning abortion. The most dangerous place for a black American is in his mother's womb. And a quick note about the plandemic hysteria. When daily deaths were growing at an exponential rate, cause for concern was very well justified. However, deaths began flattening out after April 16th. This is according to John Hopkins numbers, which include people who are already in hospice, people who died in motorcycle accidents, and had multitudes of other misfortunes, but also happened to be positive for COVID. Their numbers show around 4,500 deaths per day on April 16th, and they flattened out well below 1,000 per day since June 28th. Heart disease alone kills over 2,000 people a day, yet there's no hysteria or hype over a supersized order of McDonald's fries. This brings me back to Pastor Dana's dream. I'm skeptical about a resurgence of COVID in the fall. For me to take his prediction seriously about November, I'd have to see the September daily deaths attributed to COVID climb above that 4,500 number, which was reported back in April. So, if I'm not taking his dream seriously, why does it seem that I've put my own prepping efforts into fifth gear? After all, I'm canning beans, building rabbit hutches, getting my ham license. Well, there's another prophecy that I'm going to leave you with today, and that one does have me concerned. The prophet Jeremiah writes in chapter 7, "So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and been cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abomination in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come to my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Because the Israelites would not repent of murdering their children, these prophecies came true. God turned the valley of Hinnom into the valley of slaughter. In fact, that valley where they sacrificed their children to Molech became the trash heap known as Gehenna, a cursed place that Jesus used as an allegory for hell. If we do not repent of our national sin of abortion, I fear that the United States of America may become the United States of slaughter. Let us pray that the land of the free and the home of the brave isn't turned into a trash heap, into Gehenna. Get ready, prepare, spiritually, physically, and mentally. I think we're in for some rough waters ahead. May God bless you and keep you from the coming storm.